The Flatus Show is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Due to the sensitive nature of today's topic, this episode of The Flatus Show is not suitable for children, small animals, people of any religious affiliation, people with no religious affiliation, trees, insects, rocks, seashells, people from other planets, people who think they're from other planets, and hippopotamuses who are squeamish about blood. If you fit one of these categories, please delete this episode and move on to the Muggle cast.
The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Millie the Cockatiel. Welcome to the Flatus Show, a low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Delicious. I am your host, Kenty, and with me in the studio, filling in for Millie the Cockatiel, is Calvin from Hello Waffles. Calvin, say hi to the audience.
Hi, I don't want to be so much louder than Melly, I guess, if I'm going to be a good co-host. It seems like on the Flatus Show, you have to be pretty quiet as a co-host.
Well, you know, for some of my co-hosts, otherwise it's fine for you to talk. I mean, if you really feel like you need to curl up on the couch and sleep, like Jose used to do. Socks off, but you know, you can pipe in.
Now, I have to say, Kenty, it was really amazing to see you visually do the opening of the show.
You've never seen that?
I've never seen it. And the thing is you're just as facially animated as I would have imagined listening to you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's what I do all the time. I act it out. That's right. I guess people don't really get to see me do this.
No.
You know, they just imagine it in their minds.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, before I forget, Toppy said on Facebook, tell Calvin that he's a wanker.
Okay.
I think you meant that in the best of all possible ways.
Wonderful.
Pardon me.
Oh my god.
Oh.
I guess in a British way?
Maybe. Hold on. Here, tell Calvin. I'm going to read exactly what he said. I said, off to the gym, then interview with Calvin on Skype. And Toppy wrote, you tell that Calvin that I think he's a wanker. Ha!
That was a nice impression, Kenty.
Yeah. Did I do a good one?
We should have you go through all the podcasters.
Right.
Oh, poor Toppy.
I know his father is in was in the hospital. I think, I imagine, I haven't heard anything. I imagine he's okay. He's in ICU. The father is in ICU.
Yeah, I think I saw... And this is very unusual for me. Highly, highly, highly unusual. I looked at Twitter, and it looked like he had posted some audio booze.
Yes, right. He did.
About it. And, but so I guess they exist. I don't know. I just saw that not too long ago.
Right.
But, it sounds really difficult.
Yes, it does. I mean, well, they're older, and, you know, both parents are older, and the operation seemed pretty major, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we're thinking of Toppy. Toppy, we're thinking of you.
And speaking of you.
And speaking of you at the same time. So, let's talk about San Francisco, because I love San Francisco.
Okay.
So I want to move there.
Would you bring Jesus with you?
I'll bring Jesus with me.
I see him on your back wall.
Right. Oh, yeah. You see that? It's a paint by number Jesus.
Oh.
With real wounds on his hands and feet, painted red.
You can't be a doubting Thomas
you
with
can't.
This.
That's proof that Jesus is real. You know?
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Dory Alley, right? What do you think of Dory Alley? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's a small street.
Yeah.
It intersects with Folsom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The like, dirty sex in the back room bar is there, the powerhouse. Did you go there?
I did go to the powerhouse, but I didn't go into the back room. I stayed in the front.
And they show fisting porn. But they have those lights that
porn.
Are...
they were showing porn.
They have those lights that are Crisco cans upside down. It's,
yes.
It's your bar, Canty. If only it was Spry instead of Crisco.
Right. Yes. See, that's the reason why I'm not into fisting, is because they don't make Spry anymore.
I know.
You know, I only really can fist with Spry.
I wonder if that was in one of the old recipe books.
Probably. Or lard, you know? It's like, you know, render your own fat for fisting.
For the discreet homosexual.
For the discreet homosexual, we like to use lard mixed with chicken fat.
Tired of buying lube at your local Five and Dime?
Yeah, right. Your general store. Hey.
Now you can...
Herbert,
yeah,
I'll take 5 pounds of Crisco. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for the winter. Mm-hmm. And some nail clippers.
Oh, dear. Wow.
So...
Now, I would assume no one in the Fits Like a Glove group has long nails, do they?
I don't think any of the people I hang around with have long nails.
No?
Ironically, though, talking about long nails.
You have long nails?
No, it's not. They're not long by any standard. But ironically is that I've been biting my nails since the age of 12. It's like, I remember... Getting into sixth grade, I was turned 12, probably just hit puberty, and I started biting my nails to, like, the nubbins. So I had, like, no nails, basically.
Oh.
And for the longest time, I would bite my nails. I mean, I bit my nails until maybe last year or whatever. I stopped biting them, and they started growing. And one day, I scratched myself. I'm like, what? I have nails. And I had to cut them. It's like, for the first time... In whatever many, how old, I'm 47, 30-something years, I started had to grooming my nails.
You know, I don't believe this, but it would make a great sort of, you know, bad science to at this point. But some people say that nail biting is a sign of sexual frustration.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm not sexually frustrated now.
Now
which,
that you've got this recorder.
Which actually makes quite a bit of sense. So anyway.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's probably true, though. I've been frustrated for 37 years.
I just laugh because I saw you, like, you know, twiddling with your goatee.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm constantly at work and everywhere, always pulling on it. And I'm like, what did you do before you had it? Because I've had, like, a facial hair for so many years now. I think I used to play with my hair, I think, before that.
Well, I don't really have much hair to play with myself, but I probably, you know, did something with my hair. I don't know, but it is true. I do play with my beard at work, and I pull it down, and I pull it down and sort of like figure out the length of it and think, okay, I need to trim this side a little bit or whatever.
Now, do you ever pull out hairs that seem offendingly too long?
No, I cut them, though. I trim them. Like, I just trimmed it. How do I look?
It looks great.
Thank
how
you.
Do I look?
Yeah, how do I look?
Fierce.
How do I look?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You look, I don't know what Leathermen say, like, like you look good. Like,
you're just, hot, dude.
They don't just slap you or something.
Yeah, right. Oh, come on.
I could piss all over that face.
I could, yeah, that face, that's so hot, I could piss all over it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. That's such a compliment. So anyway, Dory Alley, so what do you think about that? Now, I hear that Dory Alley is actually better than Folsom.
The street fair, no?
Yeah, Folsom Street Fair.
Dory Alley is more local, was the whole thing, but they really have cracked down, from what I understand, on the street fairs.
Yeah? Like, what do you mean?
Like, when we first went, I have these pictures, like, we had someone, it was probably Big Fatty or someone, he was somebody wearing a rubber pig mask, and it was totally naked with a pigtail coming out of their ass, crawling through the streets.
That was Big Fatty?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
But, no.
I don't even know who Big Fatty is. I mean, I've only heard about him. I've never heard a Big Fatty episode.
It's okay. Yeah. This might even, like, go beyond his reach in the potosphere. So,
it was Auntie Vera Charles.
Right. Well, it is close to Walnut Hills. Anyway, but no, it used to be like the first time we went and there was just, you know, people drinking pee from everybody all in the streets, guys in the gutter, somebody was walking around with like a urinal, right, you know, mask on,
I've
or like a
this
toilet seat, you know. And that's really toned down. I mean, it was apparently even wilder. They used to have things like called, like, you know, like the play pens or whatnot, where people would just be having sex, like, on sort of in the streets, like,
really?
Not like, and not just like two people with a crowd around it, like a lot of people. And that, a lot of the, what is it? Like, what? I can't remember what it's called. It's not called, I want to call it Homosexuals for Truth, but that's not right. That right wing
Homosexuals for Truth. So it's a right, some white right wing group came in.
I think it's like Truth About Homosexuality or something. It's one of those like quasi ex gays things. Back when I years ago I used to read Joe Miguel, La Barbera, Peter La Barbera is involved in it. He and some of his guys used to go to, they probably still do. They'd go to Folsom and ILM.
IML? Or is it
IML, not Industrial Light and Magic? Yeah. Yeah, and they would take pictures of what they found to be like the most offensive or like, you know, like horrible, awful things,
right,
and they'd super publicize it and be like,
it's like
my
that
God
in Southern Decadence, isn't it, too? Isn't that like one of those events which is very like sexual?
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about New Orleans, right?
You're right.
I don't know. I knew that, I heard that they were cracking down on that as well. And there, I mean, it sounded like there was a lot of homophobia twinged in with Southern Decadence, whereas
right,
San Francisco, it's just in the sense of like, it's difficult when, you know, the mayor's, you know, got a little happy greeting message in the front pamphlet and there's something for Nancy Pelosi to, like, welcome to Folsom Street Fair. And
really?
We're so happy you're here.
Nancy Pelosi's.
Yes. I think there might have even been one from Arnold Schwarzenegger one year.
Really?
But
wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, this Dory Alley is a smaller local event then.
Correct.
And so there's no more pigtails? People aren't naked anymore?
No. I don't remember seeing as many naked people. The other problem,
because you can be naked in San Francisco as long as you're not bothering anybody.
Yeah,
right?
I see naked people all the time. On the street. Nowhere
right
else. Not at home, but on the streets.
Streets of San Francisco, a Quinn Martin production, starring Carl Malden, also starring Michael Douglas. with guest stars Sam Jaffe, David Z. Hall, Laurie Heineman, special guest star Luther Adler. Tonight's episode, Mr. Nobody.
Not at your house, right?
Exactly. Anyway, so the other problem is much in the same way, like the more acceptable it is to be homosexual, like people in the cast are always bemoaning, oh, it's becoming so straight, it's so this, right. That, and it's because like it's seen as like not that dangerous, you know,
right.
Or whatnot. Straight people are like, oh, if somebody took a picture of me at Folsom Street Fair, it's just like, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm trying to scratch my back while you're talking because I've itched. Anyway, go on.
people would just, you know, there's a lot of looky-loos now. Tons of spectators. Tons and tons of straight people who just come to see the freaks. But at the same time, there's also, it's almost like every gay guy in San Francisco has some sort of leather outfit.
Right.
You know, it's like having a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
You can pull it out for your
Folsom.
For your leather high holy days.
Right. So, I mean, they have a harness or shorts or something.
I have a harness. And
you have to take a picture of yourself in it so I can put it for the artwork.
The artwork? Hell no. I don't even like put pictures of myself on my own blog, let alone like in a harness.
Why? You have shame about it?
Dude, I'm deeply, deeply ashamed of my body.
Really?
But
you have a good body, Calvin. You have a really good body.
No, but I mean, it's not... I don't think it's so much shame is... I don't know. Internet, like, flattened photos and being out on the internet feels very different to me.
Right.
It's strange. I've suddenly become very... I feel like I want to be very careful about curating sort of what exists about me. And I feel in a way almost... This is silly, but it's almost like I feel like my image is more me than, like, my voice.
Yeah.
The thing with podcasting is it's so long. It's like people used to always say, like, well, people have said for a while now, if you want people to never find out about anything, you know, just publish it in a book. You know, no one will ever read it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not text searchable. So, but I almost feel like, you know, images are this instant representation. But if you have to go through all the labor of actually sitting and listening to everything, I feel like stuff gets sort of lost in the amount of information, which feels to me more like real life.
Right.
Some ways I really don't like, I mean, it's how I feel like politics is too. Everything is condensed into the shortest phrase possible.
Right.
And latch onto that, and that becomes, you know, what we sort of, you know, a tattoo, a brand that we put on people of, you know, this person is this. And
I agree with you. I mean, like, you have to listen to, like, for my the podcast, you have to listen to 70 minutes of the podcast to really understand what I'm doing. It's not a soundbite.
Right.
It's long form. Whereas a picture is, like, instant. You get an image.
Mm-hmm.
I have my picture of myself dressed in leather on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I only have one Facebook account. I know some people have their leather account and then their regular account, and I just have one account.
I
look good, you know, so it's like, you know, I'm like, whatever, it's like nothing. I'm not like fisting anybody in there, you know. I'm not doing anything
that's a TOS violation, I think, though.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything that is that you can't show children. I could hold a baby, you know. It's like, you know.
You could hold a baby in leather pants.
That's right.
Oh, mommy, it feels so skin-like.
You're right. Mommy, I like these leather pants. I want leather pants. So
I don't know. Why
I was thinking about maybe coming out for Dory Alley.
Oh, you should come out for Dory Alley. You really should.
I want to see if I can do it. It's in July, right?
Yeah, it's usually end of July. It used to be that it, like, Lazy Bear would be right after Dory Alley.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was usually the first week in August.
Mm-hmm. So, that, did you go? Yeah. Have you been back to Lazy Bear since that one time you went?
We've been a couple times, but we did not go this past year.
The I know year you we talked about it on your show.
The year we went before was an off year,
mm-hmm.
which was nice in a way. Lazy Bear suffered from some of the same problems that Folsom suffers from.
I hear. Guerneville doesn't want the Lazy Bear anymore?
Oh, really?
Is that what I heard?
No, I mean in the sense that, like, it's too big for its own good.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many people, and it's so big, and there's, you know, just never-ending sort of... You really get lost among everybody.
Right. It's too big for its own good.
Exactly.
Right.
Expensive.
How much? Really? Well, I guess so. Even if you're camping there, I'm sure it's expensive. It must be filled up.
Yeah, I mean, it can get up to... I mean, camping, if it's cheapest and you have to make your reservations out way in advance, it's probably... I think it's still, per person, about $40 a day.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
You got, I don't know, that might be a little on the low side. It might be more than that.
Right.
It might be, it's probably actually more than that. But then you have, like, food and,
right.
you know, costs of getting into places and...
Right. Well, you know, I go to Provincetown. I went to Provincetown for Mates Leather Weekend. And I got a really good deal on a place, you know, room for the weekend. It's like, I don't know, $80 or something like that.
Did you stay at the Leather House?
No, I stayed at this. I forget where I stayed, but it wasn't. It was a house, but it wasn't that ranch. You're thinking of that ranch?
The ranch. I think the ranch. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually has new ownership. They've sort of it's closed down and they're remodeling it. But I just want to say something. I got a really good deal. Now this is of course at the end of September. And for Snowbound, I even got a better deal because that's in February, right? So it's like no one goes. However, I saw like the rates and they you know throughout the year, and the week that they have the Bear Week in Provincetown, the prices go through the roof.
Yeah, you know, we were there for Bear Week.
You were. I met you. Yeah, I came down, but that was insane. You know.
We didn't go specifically for Bear Week, but it happened to coincide with
right.
it.
Right.
It was, yeah, I mean, I guess Provincetown, you probably don't get tons of people from New York.
Yeah,
but
there's lots of people.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I would have thought they would all have been Fire Island.
Well, there's a lot of people who you know, split their time between Fire Island and Provincetown. I mean,
well, it must
it's like
be
John
nice
Walters,
to have that much
he's
money.
From Baltimore, and he's the summer in Provincetown. I mean, it's a like a gay destination. I think everybody, you know, on the East Coast, that you know, that's probably from, you know, Maine to you know Baltimore, Washington could come to well, Fire Island too, Fire Island or Provincetown. But I think probably Fire Island is a little bit more expensive, and I think Fire Island is sort of like Manhattanites go to Fire Island. You know?
So you get the Long Island and the Jersey boys.
We get Jersey and, you know, I guess so. I don't know. People from all over. And a lot of, you know, Massachusetts people, too. I mean, a lot of the gays in Boston, you know, go to Provincetown, so.
Did you meet that one guy on Grindr from Cape Ann in Provincetown?
What guy is that?
I thought you always joked that there was always like when you would go onto Grindr or something, there'd be one person.
Oh, right, I know what you're saying. Yes, that's true. It's like you're right. In Cape Ann's like one gay is in, like, you know, within, like, you know, it's funny. It was on recon and stuff.
Hey, Johnny. Dinner smells
you're
good.
Right, you're right. It's, ooh, look who's, it's Johnny. He's on the other one. It's true. Yeah,
he's 5 feet away.
Yeah, on Cape Ann, there's, like, one other gay, and all the other gays are, like, 20 miles away. You know, oh. It's like, what, like, it'll be 3 miles, right? That's the closest. And then you have, like, 5, 6, but, you know, 14, 20, 30. Because by 30 miles, you're in Boston.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, 30, 35. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, it's so funny, you know. You only see one or two at a time, you know. There might be more than one gay on these things, but they're all not on at the same time. So you really don't have your picks, you know, for chat or whatever. When I went to New York and in San Francisco, I opened up Recon, and it's like everybody's within 0.3 miles.
Yeah.
Wherever you go. This point, it's really, I didn't see anything past 0.3 miles when I was in San Francisco. When I was when I was in Rohnert Park, it was, even there, it was like, there's a lot of people within a mile or 2 miles.
They converted chicken runs into dungeons.
What?
I'm kidding. Well, because you're up by Petaluma, Chicken Town.
Is that what Chicken Town is?
Yeah, Petaluma. They do a lot of the chickens and the eggs up there. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I liked the area, Rohnert Park and stuff.
But you like chicken, right?
I like chicken, so that's probably why. I would live in Rohnert Park. I mean, it was really affordable. I mean, the place where I stayed was like $35 a night or something. It was insane.
It's really pretty up, and
it was
Sonoma, isn't it? At that point, or right. Is it yet? Or is it still Marin?
Well, whatever. Sonoma, that's not interesting. It is right. It was right near Santa Rosa, and you go and through what's the name of that town? I love the name of it.
Mill Valley.
No, it's a name of a town.
Nevada.
No, it has a weird name. It's like
El Cerrito.
No, let me think of it. I'll think of it. But every time every time I went through, I'm like, I want to live here just because of the name of the town.
Not Sebastopol.
Yes, Sebastopol. that's my destination. I want to live in Sebastopol.
Or wait a minute, or the Birds Town. Why am I blanking on it?
You're thinking of
Bodega Bay.
Yeah, Bodega Bay. I drove through Bodega Bay, and it's just like the movie. And Jenner. I stopped at a gas station, and there was like one of those old fashioned phone booths. You know, the standing phone booth where you close the door. I thought, this is just like the Birds. Somebody if just I'm needs here to drop a lighted cigarette.
Yes. Well, you quit smoking a long time ago, sweetie.
I did. So it wouldn't be me dropping the cigarette. Wouldn't be me.
Wouldn't be Candy.
So now listen, when I was out there, you said that you and how would you consider yourself part of? Do you consider yourself part of the leather community? Because I think Joseph said you met in a leather bar. Is that right?
Oh yeah, but no. Well, I would. No, I would never say we're part of the leather community.
What would you say? Just because you're not. What do you mean by that? What do you think that means? That be part of the leather community or not?
Part of the leather community. To me, being part of the leather community. Oh, this is one of those horrible gay questions. What does it mean to be gay? What does it mean to be a bear? What does it mean to be a twink? But, I mean, to give, you know, one of those horrible sort of answers, you know, like somebody probably, you know, you're probably on recon or you have a partner. You have some sort of, you have leather that you wear on a regular basis or there's some sort of kink that you do on a regular basis. Maybe you're involved in local discussion groups. You probably go to leather nights maybe every now and then at local bars. And that's about it.
Really? So that's what you think? I guess I'm part of the leather community then because I do all those things.
Yeah, I would say that you're part of a leather community.
Right.
Wouldn't you?
No, I do. I do. I'm just.
You don't quite have a leather family yet, though.
What's that?
You don't have a leather family yet.
No, I guess I don't.
That's always strange. Do you guys have gigantic, sprawling leather families in Boston like they do in San Francisco? Like Master So-and-so with his, you know, 15 slaves and...
Okay, I don't think it's quite like that in Boston. In fact, there was this, when I was first, you know, being part of the leather community or whatever, I was on Recon, and this guy wants me to come up to their place, him and his partner's house in New Hampshire, and we're looking for somebody else to join our leather family, and
mm-hmm.
as it turned out, I mean, this guy, he was like a submissive, right? And he like wanted me to do things to him, which like I felt like I was raped actually after I was done talking to him.
Because at least he wasn't like, I want you to cut off my toe.
And it was almost that bad.
Every year you'll take a new toe off.
Yeah, right. Yes, master, whatever you want, just cut off my toe, make me eat my shit. You know, shit in my mouth. It's like whatever.
I want you to break one of my teeth every month. Like these people. We're really out there.
They are like this guy was like that. He goes, I was trained at the Chicago Hellfire Club, so I know how to take it. And I'm like, that's nice, but I don't know how to give it. I don't necessarily want to. And, you know, I mean, my thing is, you know, I mean, wearing the leather. That's the main thing, right? Mm. And as for kinky stuff, I mean, it's certainly not based around pain. Or, you know, degradation or whatever. My thing is always about, you know, it has to be fun and it has to be, you know, satisfying for all involved, so to speak.
Right.
And so, it's not satisfying me to, you know, be so, I'm not a sadist. That's the thing. I'm not, you know, though I've been called a sadist, though I don't know why. Now, on with the show.
What'll I do when you are far away and I am blue? What'll I do? What'll I do when I am wondering who is kissing you? What'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do?
What's cooking? That's right. Now for the cooking portion of this latest show.
I'm sorry. I had to... Oh well. Hi, how you doing? This is Kenty in the cooking portion of the Fletish Show. Unprepared because I had the microphone behind me because I was recording a song. Anyway, this week we're going to talk about fat. Rendering fat. As I think I talked about this before. Rendered chicken fat, it makes a wonderful fat to be used in cakes and pastries. It's delicate. However, it's very oily, and it's best to mix it with a hardier fat like suet, which is more firm, and then it becomes like a medium fat, which then is better for cooking and stuff. So we have that fat. So I'm going back a little further in history to or before America. This is like English cookery and stuff. And, you know, because back then they didn't have Crisco. There was no things like Crisco. You had to render your own fat. And like in America, the fat of choice was like lard. It was very popular. But before that, things like chicken fat was used and all sorts of different fats. Well, there is a pudding, and it's basically like a bread pudding. And it uses suet. Not suet, I mean marrow. And marrow fat is very, very delicate. It makes a wonderful pastry. However, I was reading that the best marrow to use for, you know, the flakiest crust is veal, is the baby calf, like a calf, like a three-month-old calf. They should be no more than 3 months old. 4 months is okay, too. But the marrow in those babies are extremely delicate and just like it's like Crisco almost. I mean, whereas, you know, in an older animal like a cow, the marrow, once it's rendered, is pretty hard. And then when you have, but with calf marrow, it is like Crisco. So what you did, what is what I found out, is that, you know, I wanted to try this. So I was looking around to see if there's any butcher shops in the area that sold, you know, fresh veal. And I found one in Hamilton. And I asked the butcher, hey, do you have any veal bones, you know, leg bones, so I can, you know, take the marrow? And he did. So I got the legs of two they're thigh legs. I don't know what they are, but I had six of them. And so it came from three different veals or calves or whatever. And it was pretty cheap. I think I paid $20 for the six bones. And so I came home, I had to crack them, and I thought I'd have a hard time doing that, but they're so young that you could just break it with your own hands, right? So I cracked open the leg bones, which are very easy to do. I mean, I guess if you wanted to, you know, hobble a veal or a calf, it'd be very easy. Just, you know, use your hands, basically. Don't even need a hammer. And I scooped out all of the marrow and put it into a double boiler, and then put a half a cup of milk per pound of marrow. So I think it was like 2 pounds, so I had a cup of milk, I think. Did I use a cup of milk? I think I used a cup of milk. See, when I'm cooking, like, I didn't even measure it. I sort of just poured it in. So I'm thinking it was about, it filled up the double boiler, okay? And, you know, not overflowing, but, you know, just, it was perfect, actually. And when I poured the milk in, it came up a little bit less than halfway. And I just used whole milk. So what you do is you heat it up over the water, and the marrow breaks down. And you let that, you know, cook until all of the marrow has dissolved. Then what I did is I boiled it. I took it off of the heat, and I boiled it until the milk evaporated. I had to watch it very carefully. And what happens is that all the milk solids and the other parts of the marrow, sort of this, it's like slimy stuff, will burn to the bottom. So you don't want to do that. So you know, you boil it down as much as you can, and then you take cheesecloth into a strainer and then pour this concoction over the cheesecloth into a bowl, right? Then I let a bowl of water, by the way, and then I let that congeal. So what you do is then you cut around it and you pull it off and it's like a solid brick, and then you just sort of scrape off any kind of solids off the bottom. You take that again, boil it in water, let it cool, and then check for any kind of impurities or solids. And usually there's a little bit. I mean, I'm not – you're supposed to do it 3 times. I did it twice. So I had this, you know, cup and a half of wonderful calf, baby cow fat from the bones. And I made a pie crust with it. And I just used the – because, you know, the recipes didn't have much measure. The measurements weren't that great. So what I used was the Crisco pie crust recipe, which I'm going to give you right now. It's classic, and it works really well. So I used one and a herd. This is for single crust, because I made a lemon meringue pie. 1 1/3 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of this fat. You can use Crisco, well chilled, or the veal fat, and then 3 to 6 tablespoons of ice cold water. That's basically what it is. That's the measurements. Or 2 cups for double crust. You use 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 cup of either Crisco or the veal fat. Let me tell you, the veal fat has no taste to it, and the crust was really, really flaky. I mean, I have had really good – I really like making a crust with lard, because I think that really makes the crust – like, I thought that was the flakiest crust. No. Veal fat. Of course, it takes a lot of – I only got 1.5 cups of veal off of, like, 3 veals. I mean, 3 babies, okay? So it's not cheap. I mean, like I said, I spent $20 for – I mean, that's not out of bounds, really. $20 for 3 legs, the 3 veals, the legs from the 3 veals, or calves. Whatever. You know, they're gonna throw it away anyway. I mean, they don't sell because it's too fatty. You know, whereas with the they don't sell it for edible purposes. Whether they do for regular cow, marrow, they do, because it's like more gelatinous or something. But the veal is like basically fat, and it is the best fat. It is so good, and it makes such a flaky crust. I mean, it made the best lemon meringue pie. So go to your butcher, see if they have any veal legs, and they're easy to crack open, and this is easy to make. Does take a little while because you have to let it, you know, cool each time, and then, you know, get the impurities off. But it's well worth it. If you have a special pie to make, you know, I would recommend that you go and get some veal legs and start cracking the bones. So that's it for cooking on the Flatus Show. April Fools!
We'll be close as pages in a book, my love and I. So close, we can share a single look, share every sigh. So close, that before I hear you laugh, my laugh breaks through. And when a tear starts to appear, my eyes grow misty too. Our dreams won't come tumbling to the ground, we'll hold them fast, darling. As the strongest book is bound, we're about to last. Your life is my life, and while life beats away in my heart, heart will be close as pages in a book, never to part. Will be close as pages in a book, my love and I, so close we can share a single look, share every sigh, so close that before I hear you laugh, my laugh breaks through. And when a tear starts to appear, my eyes grow misty too. Our dreams won't come tumbling to the ground. We'll hold them fast, darling, as the strongest book is bound. We're bound to last. Your life is my life, and while life beats away in my heart, we'll be close as pages in a book, never to part. Your life is my life, and while life beats away in my heart, we'll be close as pages in a book, never to part.
When the Round Buds Brim, by Lou Sarrett. When April showers stain the hills with mellow rain, the quaking aspen tree, so delicate, so slim, in glittering wet festoons, is a lovely thing to see. When the round buds brim and burst their fat cocoons, like caterpillars clean and cool and silver green, uncurling on the limb. And lovely when September with magic pigment dyes the aspen stems with wings of flimsy butterflies. When the frosted leaf swings its gold against the sun and dances on the bough. But when in bleak November the latest web is spun and the gold has turned to dun, when winds of winter call and the bare trees answers as the last leaves fall like crumpled moths, oh now, how sad it is to look upon the leaves in the brook. So many tattered hosts, so many haggard ghosts, so many broken dancers.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to start recording so I can test this. Okay, let's start talking. Ah!
Ah!
We're going to... This is going to be an experimental show where we're just going to sing at each other in melismatic notes. Ah!
Ah! Ah! Ah! Ah! Ah! Ah!